And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today, I hope you're ready because I am absolutely angry. You know, a lot of people say Christians shouldn't be angry. Christians should just get along. But that's not true at all. Christians grow indignant. Christians get very angry. In fact, Christians may get more angry than the world because the world is apathetic, doesn't care. But Christians sincerely care. And I am angry today. And I want to tell you why I'm angry. And I believe you will agree with me. Now, I guess the question should be, are you angry enough yet? Are you angry enough yet? You know, we have a system here in America where we have over 500 senators and representatives. I think there's like 545, whatever. 100 senators. Most of our congressmen are in the House. And basically, we vote them in. Now, let me say right away that I don't blame you and I, the American citizen, because it's these wicked, corrupt political parties that winnow the list down. They tell us you've got to vote for this man or this woman, or you could vote for the other side. So you really only have two choices, Republican or Democrat. And both sides are wicked, ungodly, and totally deserving of being thrown out of office. They don't deserve our vote, none of them, none of them. Well, maybe 10 or 15 out of all of them. But basically, when I say all of them are putrid, sick, disgusting, and make me want to throw up, I mean about all of them. It seems, I'm told, that most people think the other person's congressman is bad, but their congressman or congresswoman is okay. That's not true. That just shows people aren't doing their research. They're not checking up on what their congressman is doing. You can go to Google and find out how your congressman voted this year. You may be surprised. Now, they deceive us in many ways. You see, they have different methods of cheating, of lying, of deceiving. Now, here's the principal way they do it. They first vote on a measure, and they vote it in or vote it out. For example, they have now voted 42 times in the House against Obamacare. The Republicans have. And just recently, the Senate also added its vote of no. They said no to Obamacare. But that was last week. Now, just yesterday, the House voted again to fund Obamacare. Now, I want you to understand that. First, you vote for or no to the program. Then you vote for the money for the program. If you vote to give money for the program, then the program is approved. Now, this is insane, but it's the way they cheat you, the way these lying freaks lie to us to disguise what they're doing. For example, they may vote money to, or vote to say no to any more military spending in the Middle East. We don't want any wars in the Middle East. No, 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 we don't want any wars in the Middle East. They vote against our troops going into the Middle East. But the next week, they'll vote on the money that going for military troops to go to the Middle East, and they'll vote for it. And they say, well, why in heavens do they do that? You know, that's like you telling a realtor who just showed you a new home, no, I don't want that home. No, I will never have that home. No, that home's terrible. And the next day, you go by your realtor's office with a big check and say, here, I'm buying that house. Well, you just told me yesterday you didn't want it. Well, that was me telling you I didn't want it. Ha, ha, ha. But here's the money for it. You get it? I do want it. I just lied to you. Now, why did he lie? To fool us, to deceive us, because here's what happens. 41 times the House voted no to Obamacare. And all of their constituents, about 80% are against Obamacare in America. 80% of Americans are against it. They write letters. You write letters to your congressman saying, don't vote for Obamacare. Kick it out. We don't want that. And they write you back a real nice letter and say, "We, that's what we did. I led the Congress. We voted, 400 and something to, we ripped it. We said no to Obamacare." You're happy. You think your congressman did a good job, don't you? They voted to say no to Obamacare. But they don't tell you that the week after that, they voted to give all the money to Obamacare. Now, I hope that's a very simple way to put it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, the House and the Senate vote for programs, and then they vote for the money for the programs. There's two times to vote. I want you to understand that. This is designed so they can tell all their constituents that you and me, we're going along with you. You don't like Planned Parenthood? Well, we just voted not to fund it. No, that slimy, dirty Planned Parenthood, they're killing all those little babies through abortion, and then they're cutting their brains out and selling them to these, these cannibalistic corporations that are, in any case, no money for Planned Parenthood. And they'll tell you that. And I'll talk to an individual about their congressperson about Planned Parenthood, and they'll say, well, thank God my congresswoman, she voted against Planned Parenthood. And I pull out a piece of paper and say, look here. She just voted to give $645 million to Planned Parenthood. Well, that's impossible. I've got her letter right here in my hand. She voted no on Planned Parenthood. Yeah, but she voted yes to fund it, to give all the money it wants. Now, if your son came in, and he's a teenage boy, and he said, I got a hot date. Give me $100, Dad. You said, no more hot dates. No. You've been out six nights this week. You cannot have any more money. No, go. No. You got to stay home tonight. He slinks back into his room, and about 5 minutes later, you're knocking on the door. How much money did you need, son?
Well, now I want $300. I don't want just $100.
Oh, here's your $300. Go out and have fun. Well, I thought you told me I couldn't go. Well, that was just, to make you understand that, But just between us, here's the money. You go ahead and go and have a good time. You go ahead and you don't worry about school. You don't worry about other things. You go out and party and have fun every night this week. Ha, ha, ha. Just between you and me, right? When your congressman says, I voted no to Planned Parenthood, when he or she says, I voted no to fund this climate bill, this climate treaty, climate change that Obama just went over to Europe and approved a big climate treaty. He says, thank goodness we're not going to have to take this to the Senate. The Senate does not need to approve my new climate change treaty. Wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. The Constitution says the Senate must approve it. But McConnell, the Senate majority leader, says, no, we'll never approve that. No. We're against the environmental movement. And this climate change, there is no climate change. That's a hoax. No. You'll never get that through us. You have to do a little scouting around. You have to do a little research. You're going to find out that McConnell and the Senate approved every penny necessary to implement the climate change treaty. They did vote it in. Oh, yes. You're sending texts. I just read. It's not even going to be considered. Oh, yes, it is. Now, every morning I go to drudgereport.com. The Drudge Report. Now, today's issue is, let's see, December the 16th. December the 16th, 2015. Let me tell you what it says here. First, Congress just voted in a $500 billion spending binge. Well, that's impossible. Well, we've got Paul Ryan. Remember him, the congressman who was the vice presidential candidate with Romney? Why, he's a conservative, isn't he? Why, he would never approve a half trillion dollar spending binge. He would never do that, would he? That's the number one item today on Drudge. Paul Ryan has led the House, and the House voted to spend another $500 billion over and above last year's budget. Did you get that? Over and above last year's budget. Well, I thought we were almost $20 trillion in debt. I thought we were about bankrupt. I didn't want them to spend any money. Well, they did. They just told you, go to hell. Now, I'm not cursing there. I'm telling you what they said to you. Go to hell. You don't want to spend the money? They do. Well, what do they spend money on? You? You'd be surprised. The mating habits of the southern porcupine or something like that? Sure, everything. They spend trash money, trash. You say, well, tell me some of the things that, I mean, I can't believe that my congressman would do this. Well, how about $1.6 billion, almost $2 billion, to bring in illegal immigrants arriving at the border? Did you get that? Congress says, we don't want to accept these illegal immigrants, these illegal aliens coming across the border. We want to, why, we spent money to build a wall. We want to keep them out. We want border security. They're liars. They don't want any border security. They want all these foreigners to come in. And they just approved $1.6 billion to resettle these illegal immigrants. You've probably seen the places where they stay, while these horrible big rooms and all these beds in them, and some of them are behind barbed wire, and oh, it's just terrible, these poor illegal immigrants. Yeah, well, you didn't know about the ones where they have the relocation camps, where they've got swimming pools, HD TVs, and so on. These illegals have it better off at these camps than they do back home. And when they come across the border, they've already got their iPhones in their hands. They're doing their thumb, telling their folks back home, yeah, I made it across the border. I'm fine. Now the border patrol's picked me up, and I'm in this luxurious surroundings. We've got a big screen TV. We got 3 square meals a day, air conditioning. Everything's heating. Everything's great here. We got a big swimming pool. Got a tennis court here. Congress provides $1.6 billion to resettle illegal immigrants arriving at border through 2018. They've already paid 2 years ahead. Wow. This is called a massive appropriations bill. Has already been approved this week through the Congress. Your congressman had to have voted for it. He was with the majority, wasn't he? Wow. $1.6 billion. That's just part of the money they're going to spend on these illegal immigrants. They're going to give hundreds of millions of dollars to churches. They're going to give over $300 million to the Southern Baptist Church to help out in this illegal immigrant resettlement plan. Help out with the refugees too. They're going to give over $500 million to the Catholic Church. They're going to give $200 million to the Lutheran Church. And they're going to give $150 million to a group called, I think it's World Church Services, a liberal, a communist type group. Well, you think that's incredible, don't you, friends? You probably do. Not all that, according to Drudge report I'm reading here, that Paul Ryan and the Republican Congress, House already voted on it, but tomorrow is the last day for the Senate to even be in session. They won't even be back in session until next January, but they're going to approve the omnibus spending bill tomorrow, friends. Now, by the time you're listening to this, I'm making an audio tape and CD of it. Tomorrow's already come. It's too late. They've increased our deficit, our debt, by hundreds of billions of dollars. They don't care what you want. Now, back to this green climate deal. Obama went over to Paris, France. He met with, what, 75 or 100 world leaders? I didn't even count them all. But they said, we've got to save the world. And of course, the Pope was right behind them saying, oh, yes, yes, do it, do it. Save the world. Totally a hoax. Now, here's what they did. They decided that the countries that have been using the most energy, meaning the United States and the European countries, mostly the United States, would have to pay what are called reparations to the other countries. So India, China, Indonesia, and all the other poorer countries, are going to start getting tens of billions of dollars in direct payments, reparations from the United States, because we've been damaging the environment. So we start right away with paying out billions of dollars to India, to China, and all these people. Think about it. Boy, you ever read Trump's book, The Art of the Deal? Well, I never did, but I tell you, this is a shoddy deal. I want to repeat that. This green climate, they've set up a green climate fund. And there are going to be billions of dollars going into that fund. I think this year we're going to put 10 or 15 billions of dollars in it. And you know, the people from India, the prime minister loves this bill. Yeah, they're going to get billions of dollars from it. Meanwhile, they're making semiconductors and computers and all kinds of high-tech products that compete with American products. India has a huge bunch of companies. They call their companies the new Silicon Valley over in India. All these countries, they're going to get paid millions of dollars from the United States from the Green Climate Fund for doing nothing. Because Obama said, we'll pay it. Yeah, we'll pay it. How about all the countries of Africa? Well, they hadn't been spending much energy, have they? We're going to have to pay them reparations. We're going to pay Kenya, Zimbabwe, all those countries in Africa, pay them billions of dollars, the Green Climate Fund. I'm not joking about this. I'm telling you the truth. Well, the Republicans would never go along with that, would they? Well, it says right here that Paul Ryan in the House voted to totally fund the Green Climate Fund. Wow, that's incredible. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You said your congressman told you he didn't even agree with the environmental bills. He's going to vote against this nonsense. He probably did, but then he voted to give him the money the next day. Do you see what I'm saying, folks? Don't listen to him when they said we voted against it. Ask him, when the money went in the budget for this project, did they vote for that? Only ask him about the money. Listen. I remember when I was in the Air Force, there was an airplane. Boy, they're having all kinds of problems with that airplane. And it was nearing, you know, the production line. And all the pilots were about to have conniption fits. None of them wanted that aircraft. We don't want that aircraft. It's got all kinds of problems with all kinds of bugs in it. The thing won't even fly half right. It'll crash. It'll kill a lot of pilots. We don't want that airplane. Well, you see, what the pilots in the Air Force knew was that the aircraft company was big pals with all the congressmen on the House Armed Services Committee. And they had all their pockets full of money from the aircraft company. We were going to get that aircraft whether it was worthwhile or not. It took about 3 more years for them to get all the bugs out of it. I think it was like a 300% overrun. Horrible project, I should say. But I remember having a good friend, Colonel Ryder. He wrote to his senator, and the senator wrote right back and said, you are absolutely right, Colonel. I'm a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. And we just voted no on that product, that project. We just voted no against, we voted against that project. Don't worry. We're protecting you pilots in the Air Force. We voted no on that project. Well, it was about a month later, my good friend Colonel Ryder came to see me. He says, well, guess what? I said, what? He says, our squadron is getting that new fighter jet. I said, you mean the one the senator told you was disapproved? He says, they turned right around and spent all the money on it. They did vote to disapprove it. And then they laughed and smoked their big cigars and drank all their whiskey and, you know, put their feet up on their desk and laughed at us and put all the money in the budget for it. I said, well, what good did it do to disapprove it? He said, well, they just tried to deceive us. So he wrote a mean, hot letter back to the senator and said, you'll never get my vote. And I suspect the senator just laughed and laughed, said, ha, ha, ha. We didn't fool him this time, but it doesn't matter. We fool most of them. That's what they do, friends. Listen to this one. You know that everybody's been angry at Planned Parenthood. All the conservatives, all the Christians are against Planned Parenthood and what it does. $640 million last year, and they spent it on abortions. Well, we don't spend that money on abortions. But of course, we don't want an audit of our nonprofit organization either. Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. We give them $640 million and they wink and say, don't worry, we won't spend it on abortions. Not only do they spend it on abortions, but then they butcher up the bodies and sell the body parts. We know that now. But guess who Planned Parenthood is praising? Guess who, according to Drudge Report, Planned Parenthood, Cecile Williams, the president of Planned Parenthood, she makes $300,000 a year, and one of her duties is to murder these little babies. Says here she's praising Paul Ryan, the House Republican Speaker, for giving her all the money she wanted. No, that's not possible. No, that can't be. Why, we were told they would take care of this matter. Why should they get money for abortion? That's our taxpayer dollars. How can that happen, Texmars? Because they're liars. They're thieves. They're thieves. They spent your money. They gave all of your money to an organization that kills little babies, sells body parts, and then lies about it. They can lie. They can get away with it. They should. It's a criminal act. It's against the law to sell body parts. They can do it because, well, because all the congressmen know they're doing it, and the congressmen wink and accept bribes and payoffs, and they do it. And now she's so arrogant about it, she's actually publicly praising the Republicans. Now, we know the Democrats are nothing but satanic devils, but a lot of people didn't know the Republicans were also, because the Republicans have been lying to us. Now, we've had a rigged media for many years, and CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox News, all of these have been lying to us. But now you've got people like Tex Mars out here. You got people like Alex Jones. You've got a lot of alternative media. You've got all these websites. They hate the media. They hate the internet. They despise us. Why? Because we love you. We tell you the truth. We tell you they've rigged it all. They've rigged this stuff. They've been cheating. They've been lying. They're all in it together. They all get their strip girls. They all have the same call girl prostitutes. They all have their scotch whiskey in their offices. And they're hee-hawing and laughing at us. No, Tex, you've got it all wrong. My congressman, he's very sincere. Sure they are. Seeing the other day, the woman in charge of the Office of Refugee Settlement was called before the congressional committee. I think the congressman's name was Jordan. And he asked her how many refugees are going to be accepted in the United States this year from Syria. She says, you know, Mr. Congressman, I don't have my figures here with me. The congressman said, well, you knew that you were being called here. You're the chief witness today. You knew what was on the agenda. Why didn't you bring them with you? I don't know. I just didn't bring them with me. I really don't know how many we're going to settle in the United States. I don't have my figures with me. And so the congressman said, okay, well, you can go. If you can't answer our questions, then just go. And she left. And she went back to her office and just laughed her head off, I'm quite sure. She knew she could quote you all the figures. She didn't intend to. Same thing with the IRS. The IRS commissioner, Mr. Koskinen, sits there and they say, well, how many Tea Party groups have you given 501c3 approval to? You know, I really don't know that. I didn't bring my figures with me today. Could it be none? Well, I don't know. Okay, that's all. They know that all of the administration bigwigs are going to just avoid the question. And they're going to let them do it. But Congressman Jordan came out and said, well, it was just terrible that she came to our committee and didn't have anything to give us. That was just terrible. It was her job to get those figures to us. She knew what the agenda was. I don't know why she didn't want to bring it to the committee. Yeah, he knew why. I'm quite sure that the woman called his office and talked to Congressman Jordan before the meeting and told him, I'm not bringing those statistics with me. I'm not bringing anything to the committee. And I'm sure that Congressman Jordan said, okay, we'll have to have a little dog and pony show. That's okay, though. Don't worry about it. We'll deceive them again. And that's what they did. When they had the IRS up there, they let the IRS deceive you. And the IRS woman that was in charge of the nonprofit offices, she got before the House committee, and what did she do? She said, well, according to the Fifth Amendment, I don't intend to testify. Okay, well then go home. Get your big bonus you're going to have this year and go home. We're not going to make you testify. No one ever gets punished, ever, ever, ever. 9/11, 3,000 people died. Was anybody called to account? Well, it was an intelligence failure. Well, how many intelligence agents were fired? None. That's because they knew it was a lie from the beginning. It wasn't an intelligence failure. It was an intelligent deception. An intelligence lie. Now, I'm going to tell you some of the other things that they've approved. I already told you about the $500 billion spending binge, about the $1.6 billion to resettle illegal immigrants, about over $600 million approved for Planned Parenthood. Oh, they're happy. We'll cover more of this when we come back on the other side. But I want you to think about it, friends. They're laughing at us. They're giving us the middle finger. It's just terrible. But they are. And we're going to have to do something. Because now it's gone too far. Now, if they can get away with all these things, this Paul Ryan, this Mr. McConnell at the Senate, think about what they're going to do if Hillary Clinton becomes president. They're going to really shaft us royally then. I mean, we don't have any freedoms in this country. They're going to start arresting us, taking away to the Gulag concentration camps, which have already been built, believe me. They're all over the United States. We're going to be taken away. They're giving our country away to other people. They're dispossessing you and me. These are the un-Americans. We are fighting against the un-Americans. I'll be right back after this brief message. Well, we've gone through a holiday period, a great period. You know, nobody really knows Jesus' birthday, but it's okay if you want to accept it. It's December 25th. Some people point out that that was the birthday of one of the great gods of Rome and Greece. It wasn't Jesus' birthday. Well, since we don't know Jesus' birthday, I'd take any day. December 25th is as good as any day. Do I think it's a good idea to worship Jesus Christ on that day? Yes, I do. And I think there are 364 other days of the year to worship Jesus, don't you? So when people say to me, I don't believe in Christmas, well, I do. I just don't accept necessarily that December 25th is Christmas. But I definitely believe we ought to celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, should we do it with a Christmas tree? Well, if you don't know anything about the ancient goddess religion, read Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah says the children of Israel, the people of Israel, were really apostate. And the women, while the men went out to work, the women would bake little cakes. And they would go to their temple, their, you know, equivalent to the synagogue, their assembly, and offer cakes and drinks to the Queen of Heaven. How about that? They worshiped the Queen of Heaven, the goddess. The Jews did. Jeremiah says that they even went out into the forest and cut down trees. And they brought trees back into their houses and decorated them. For Jesus? No, Jesus had not come yet. For the Queen of Heaven. Now, a lot of people say to me, well, I'm not going to have a Christmas tree. I know about the Queen of Heaven. If you do, then don't have a Christmas tree. Don't disrespect Jesus. But I do know a lot of Christians that they just don't read their Bibles enough. They don't know anything about Jeremiah. They have Christmas trees, and they give presents, and they worship Jesus on that day. And they're sincere, and if they are, then that's fine. You know what the Apostle Paul says in the Bible? Don't let anybody judge you on your holy day, or even on the Sabbath. That's what he said. Don't let anybody judge you on that. So just shut your mouth. Now, if they're not worshiping Jesus at all, if they have a big old rubber blow-up of Santa in their front yard, and they never say a word about Jesus. In fact, if you know that the people are really hostile to the Christian faith, then don't give them any slack at all. You accept the fact that they're just heathen and they're just taking advantage of Christmas. All the Jews seem to like Christmas. It's fun to give gifts to each other. They don't believe in Jesus at all, though. The Jews don't. And the Muslims believe in a different Jesus. It's just as bad to believe in a different Jesus as to not believe at all. It's better almost not to believe at all. But I'm not going to judge a person. And you may not agree with me. I know there's a lot of my friends out there that worship on Saturdays. They say Saturday is my Sabbath. Well, Paul said don't even let anybody judge you based on your Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is a day of rest. Who do you rest for? Jesus Christ. He has come. He came. He died. He rose victoriously. And he is forevermore. And the Sabbath is a day of rest. You can have a different day than Saturday as your day of rest. I always tell people, well, make every day your Sabbath. I don't want to be more holy one day than the rest of the days. That's hypocritical. You know, if I go out and party and drink liquor and, you know, have women and do all that kind of stuff every other day of the week, but I can't do it on the Sabbath, that's just hypocritical. Friends, every day I think of Jesus. When I wake up, I think of Jesus. I lay in bed and I ask, what can I do for Jesus Christ tomorrow? I do. What am I going to do tomorrow for Jesus? I don't look at my calendar and say, is it the Sabbath? I'm supposed to think of Jesus today. I don't ask what the day is. I tell you, I stay so busy, I usually don't even know what day it is. If I go to the office, it's Friday. They say, see you Monday. I say what? And well, today's Friday. Well, okay. That's fine. But it doesn't matter to me. Now, I know I'm going to get a few letters and go, well, no. You know, Ellen White told us it's got to be Saturday. In fact, that's going to be the sign of the beast, the sign of 666 that we all worship on Sunday. The Catholic Church changed that date because of the pagans convinced them, and the Catholic Church changed the date. Well, I don't listen to the Catholic Church. I've never listened to the Catholic Church. I've never, you know, had anything to do with the Catholic Church. And frankly, the Catholic Church is one of the whore churches of Babylon. It is. Now, if you've been around this ministry long, you know exactly what I'd think about the Pope. The guy's an absolute fake. Don't ever trust a man who wears dresses. But anyway, that's, that's what I say. But the Catholic Church did change the date. I understand, you know, started causing people to worship on Sunday. But again, I go back to the Bible. The Bible says, don't let anybody judge you based on your Sabbath. Do what's right in your mind, but make sure it's right before God. A lot of people think about things in their own mind, and they do things and they're not right. They defy God. Don't do that. If you're convinced that Saturday is your day, then I think it's a sin for you not to worship on Saturday. How about that? If you say Saturday, the Sabbath, is the day we're supposed to have our rest, then that's it. Then do that. If you make it Tuesday or Wednesday, you're going to be going the wrong way. Well, anyway, that's what I think. I want to thank you for giving to the children of the Children's Home this year. My friends, and I want to thank you for giving to our Employees Fund. Our Employees Appreciation Fund. Those are two projects that we have every year. We have the Children's Home, and we have the Employees Appreciation Fund. We're not a big ministry. I don't tell you if you give money to this ministry, God's going to make you rich. I don't tell you that God's going to give you a Cadillac or a Ferrari or a, you know, Lamborghini or whatever. I don't even know what they look like, the Lamborghini or the Ferrari. I know what the Cadillac looks like. A lot of people have those. I don't have one, but some people do. God may take things away from you if you're a Christian. That's right. If he wants you to worship him more, he may take material things away from you. But eventually you'll be happy that he did. That's the way God is. He's going to make you happy. Well, if I'm persecuted, I'm not going to be very happy. No, you're not. But you will be eventually. You will be eventually. Everything works together for good for them who love the Lord. The Bible says that. It doesn't say everything is good for them that love the Lord, but everything will work together for good. It will, friends. Praise God for the holiday season. Whenever you celebrated Christmas, it matters to Jesus. I hope you made him happy. I know I did. And that's all we're going to talk about today. We know we're not going to sell any book today, Jerry. Jerry's over there waiting to write down what book are we going to sell. We're not going to sell any books or videos. The people have given this year. Maybe many of them still have, you know, to give some to our Employees Appreciation Fund or to the Children's Home. Or maybe they couldn't give this year. They just were totally devoid of any money. That's the way a lot of people are. If that's the case, I hope that Jesus Christ will give you what you need. And I'm hoping and praying that this coming year he will give you every dollar you need to operate your household and even to prosper you. My prayer for you is that you will prosper and do well. But don't forget this ministry. Please don't. We need your help. You know, we've been here for, 30 years. This is our 30th anniversary. And it's because of you. We've had IRS and audits. They come down to harass us. We've had the FBI come by and visit us. And we give them all a Coke and a cup of coffee and have them sit down. And, you know, they just wasted their time with us. Well, no, they really didn't. They heard about Jesus while they were with us. That's a lot better than most places they go to, I'll tell you. If they want to come again, they can come again. I'm not upset at them at all. Well, a little bit. I must tell the truth. I don't like wasting my time. But, you know, sometimes you just have to do that. That's where God makes everything work together for good. You see, they left this ministry untouched. And I felt in my heart that's Jesus doing. They've got million-dollar lawyers. They've got the whole federal budget to fight Power of Prophecy. But we just keep on going right. We just keep on doing what we want to do, serving the Lord. I think that's of God, don't you, folks? All these things I say, you would think they would be right down here. I mean, they would have a SWAT team hitting our ministry. If they did, I don't know what they'd find. A lot of books, I see a picture here on my wall. It's a picture of a cat. I don't know if they want, I don't think they'd like, you'd think the Joseph Jerry. Behind you is the Lord's Prayer on the wall. We have a couple of Bible quotes on the wall in the front room there. And well, I don't think any of these prints are worth over $5, but I like them. Okay, we've got enough. Let's go on. We're talking about the un-Americans. We are at war with the un-Americans. You know, when I did this program today, when I started this program, I said, what am I going to call these? The D.C. establishment, the Beltway crowd, the Washington, D.C. wackos, the liberals in Washington, the people that hate you and me. They know we're angry. They don't care about our anger. They're going to do what they want because they're all getting money from it. They're making money, 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 money. You know, it's not just a game of choose the devil or God. It's as choose money. The devil comes disguised as a suitcase full of dollars. He does. A lot of people say, well, I'd never give my life to the devil. I'd never make a pledge to the devil. But boy, they do. They accept that foul money. Even Jesus recognized that. He said, you cannot serve two masters. You got to choose between God and mammon. Mammon is money. He didn't say you got to choose between God and the devil, because the devil comes disguised as money. These people are the money crowd. They're the un-Americans. We're at war with them. Now, I've never told you that before exactly, that we're at war with them. But we are. We're at war with Washington, D.C. Boy, that's an admission. I mean, I'm a patriot. I'm a Texan. I was so proud to say the Pledge of Allegiance all my life. Even in the Air Force, I loved doing that. Never bothered me. I loved putting my hand on my heart and saying the Pledge of Allegiance to America. I remember in school, we had to memorize Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. I didn't care about that. It was fine. Then we had to memorize the Bill of Rights, the, you know, 10 amendments to the Constitution. That was made me happy. I don't care. That's fine. I just wish the government would live up to those. They don't care there's 10 amendments there. There could be 1,000. They're not going to pay any attention to them. The liberal judges put in by George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama. We go all the way back to Jimmy Carter. Even Ronald Reagan gave us Supreme Court justices that were super liberal. Oh, I thought Ronald Reagan was a conservative. Well, think again. He even gave amnesty to the millions of illegal aliens in the United States. And he tried to convince us that this is the last time we'll ever have to do this. We're going to start enforcing border security. But right now, we're going to go ahead and give them all amnesty. People believed him because he's a conservative. You see, that's the problem. You'll believe these Republicans. They're going to lie to you. Have you seen the debates they're having? All these lying scum get up there. They're all lying one after another. Trump tells the truth. Boy, the whole world goes nuts. I sort of like Trump myself. It's refreshing for him to say things that shake up the others. I understand Pat Buchanan said all of Washington, D.C. is unhinged. They're going crazy because of Trump. Well, good for Trump. Now, let's go back to this omnibus money bill. They can't even give a good name to what they're doing. The omnibus. What does omnibus mean? Well, it basically means we look in all directions. And that's where they spend their money, every which way. Senator Sessions from down south is one of the few good men in the Senate. He says, this is why voters are in open rebellion. But are you, my friends, are you in open rebellion? They say the reason that so many are going for Trump in this nomination process for the Republican presidential nomination, so many are for Trump only because they're angry. And he deals in emotions. He's fooling us because he's working on our emotions. Listen, my emotions overflowed a long time ago. I mean, there's no cup, there's no vessel that's big enough to hide or to hold my emotions. They're overflowing. I'm angry. This new bill, this spending bill that's just being approved right now by the House and Senate, by almost every senator and congressman, makes it harder to repeal Obamacare because they're flooding it with more money. They can have 100 votes over the next year to kill Obamacare. It's all a hoax. They're not going to kill it. They're going to vote the money for it. Why did they waste their time? 42 votes against Obamacare. Think about it. They'll probably have one over the holidays. They'll probably fly in and have another one just to deceive us. And funding fully, giving full funding to Obama's climate deal. That's too much, my friends. There is no global warming. There's no climate change. Well, there will be climate change this morning. I think it was about 43 degrees here in Texas. Yesterday, it was about 52, and tomorrow it'll be 49. That's climate change. That's the only kind of climate change there is in the world. And they've rigged all of the statistics to show it. Meanwhile, let me tell you some of the other things they've approved. There's something called the H-1B visa. The H-1B, as in boy, visa. That's when a company like Facebook, Microsoft, Hewlett-Packard, Apple, they don't want to pay American computer people. Computer engineers, computer fabricators, all kinds of computer workers, robotics and all these things. Well, you see, a really good American computer engineer may get up to $90,000 or $100,000 in salary. But they can bring a guy in from India or Indonesia and pay him $40,000. He's happy. They give him a H-1B visa. Give him his green card right up front. And he bypasses all the regular immigration rules. He comes to America. We have the Silicon Valley, the second Silicon Valley here in Austin, Texas, believe me. You know, when I moved to Austin, Texas 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, I can't even remember how long it's been, they said Austin is a city of some 350,000 people. I was listening to television the other night. They said Austin metro area now has over 2 million people. They've increased in population from 350 to 2 million. We've got high-tech companies coming out our ears, internet companies. They're everywhere. Drive around, you'll see new buildings cropping up. Incredible. Motorola, IBM, every one of these companies are right here in Austin, Texas. And everywhere you go, you see women with the burqas on. And there's Chinese. And there's Pakistanis. You know, I was at a store the other night, and I just broke into conversation with a man and his wife. I saw that they were foreigners, and, you know, they're already here. I want to be friendly with them. So he asked me a question. He said, sir, can you tell me about this coffee here? Is this for breakfast, or when is this coffee good for? I looked at him. His wife was over there, and she had this long thing that was all the way down to her feet, skirt-like thing, and she had something over her head. So we got to talking, and I said to the man, where are you from? I'm from Pakistan, he said. I said, well, welcome to America. And I said, where do you work? Well, he worked for some high-tech company here in Austin. I said, well, good. Good for you. And so I decided, you know, I might as well be friendly with the guy and everything. See, we shouldn't discriminate against these people. Don't be mean to them. They wanted to come over here. They're looking for a better life. It's the people that brought them over here. It's our government officials. It's the bureaucrats. It's the devils in Washington, D.C. that are doing this to us. It's not that Pakistani man. He got a good education over in Pakistan, and he wants to make a good living. He'll probably make $15,000 a year over there, but he's making $50 or $60 in America. So I say to him, what is your name? He smiles and says, my name is Thomas Jefferson, and my wife's name is Martha. And I started laughing. I said, your name is Thomas Jefferson? He said, yes, yes. And he smiled. He says, I want to be good American, he said. I want to stay in this country. This is a wonderful country. We change our name when we get here. We go see Judge. We change our name. I'm Thomas Jefferson. This is my wife. Well, remember the Jefferson family on TV, the black family that were moving on up? Well, this is the Pakistani family, the Jeffersons. I immediately liked the guy. He was studying our Constitution, the whole thing. He's going to be a good American. It's not his fault that he's here. I'm not going to go throw eggs on his car, on his house. I'm not going to Not, I'm going to invite the guy to my church if I go to church. I'm going to invite him to my home to have dinner. He's here. What can he do? Did you know that Obama's been hiding how many Syrians he's bringing here from Syria? Now we find out that 100,000 Syrians are already in America. What? Many of them could be terrorists. Yes, many of them could. Most of them are young people. Obama laughed, well, people that don't want these Syrian refugees in, they must be afraid of women and orphans. Ha ha. The women and orphans. It's more the women and orphans. They're bringing in all kinds of men, mostly are men. And out of that 100,000, there might be, 10, 20, 50, 100 bad people. There could be. They could be terrorists. They brought them in. There's no vetting. You know, remember what they said? Well, the FBI is going to vet these people, make sure they're okay, make sure they're not terrorists. Baloney. FBI Director Comey at his news conference said, we're not doing any vetting. And Mr. Jay, the Homeland Security Director, said, we don't even go to the social media and check them out. That would be violating their privacy to check out Facebook or Instagram or the social media. Folks, they've checked mine out 100 times. The FBI, the CIA, the DIA, every agency in the world has checked out who Tex Mars is, and probably you too. These agencies, I want you to understand something. They're spending billions of dollars a year to find out information about you, about American citizens, about the people who have guns, about veterans, about the ones they're worried about. They're bringing in these refugees. They're not worried about the refugees. They're going to vote exactly the way they want. They're going to vote liberal Democrat. Every Republican that voted to bring in these 100,000 Syrians that are now here knows they're all going to vote Democrat, because the Democrats are the one giving them everything. Free phones. They all have phones. My wife, we share one phone between us, but they all have their iPhones. Wow. A lot of Americans don't even have an iPhone, but they've all got them. They're getting a house or a condo to live in. They're getting their food paid for. They're getting Medicaid. Did you know I spent over 20 years in the Air Force? They said you'll have full medical for the rest of your life. I thought, that's great. We veterans are really taken care of, aren't we? Uh-huh. There's no veterans medical care here. Now, and my pharmacy, I have to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars a year in co-pays. It's not free. I get zero in dental. If I go down and have a tooth taken out, I have to pay the dentist $200 or $300. Take that. If I have one of these root canals, boy, I hate those things. Not because they cost a lot of money, because they hurt. Oh, root canals. I don't like them. But you know what? I have to pay for those. I don't get them when I need them. I avoid them. I should get them sometime. But they probably charge over $1,000 to do a root canal. But you know what? If I was an illegal immigrant that was in America, I could get it into Medicare, or Medicaid, that is. If I were a Syrian immigrant just got here, they'd give me full, if I had 7 kids, I could take them all down to the dentist, pediatric dentist, take care of their teeth. But I have to pay for my own. I was born in America. I earned the Vietnam Service Medal. Whoop-de-doo. Our veterans are being cheated. They're paying $1.6 billion to resettle these illegal immigrants. That's what Paul Ryan did for you and I. Thank you, Mr. Republican. Thank you, Mr. McConnell. Thank you, Mr. Obama. $1.6 billion. Now, how much are our veterans going to get for that? How many millions are they going to get out of that? I mean, they're waiting. How long are they waiting? They call up the VA center, the medical center, and say, well, you know, I've got a horrible pain in my right arm. It's just killing me. Well, we might be able to get you in about 3 years. They treat you like dirt if you're a veteran in America. But they give these people full, they go to any doctor they want with Medicaid. And they do. They go to any hospital they want. But a lot of veterans, they're sunk. Well, you can go to a VA hospital. Now it's about 240 miles from your home. Uh-huh. And you can sit in the waiting room for 5 or 6 days before we get to you. They just treat you like dirt as a veteran. And veterans know how they're being treated. So on TV, they have all these Wounded Warrior programs. Oh, great. They're begging the American people to pay some money to help these people that have lost arms, have lost limbs, that are, they're like vegetables sometimes. They're getting, they're begging for people to help them to get a motorized wheelchair because the VA won't do it. The VA gets billions of dollars. They all blow it. And when you go to VA hospital, if you have an operation, you better make sure you're prayed up. Their doctors are inferior. But these immigrants can go anywhere they want to. I mean, they've got Obama giving them everything. Phone service, cash payments, Medicaid. This is H-1B, these visas. A secret deal between Obama and Pelosi and Paul Ryan quadruples the number of foreign workers in America. Did you just hear what I said? There's now going to be 400% as many people. Apple is doing flip-flops. Hewlett Packard is celebrating. They're in the top 1%. Those billionaires are making all kind of money, and now they're really going to rake it in. Thank you, Paul Ryan. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. These are un-Americans. We're at war with them. We're at war with the un-Americans. That's what they are. Sure, they're rotten, dirty scoundrels, but they are un-American. Let's start using that term. They're the un-Americans. I say secede from the United States. Do it constitutionally. We have a constitutional right to secede. I know in 1865, they said we didn't, and they ended up killing millions of Southerners. I don't care what they said. That's not in the Constitution. That's what those filthy, dirty cowards did. I'm telling you, wherever you're from, Washington State, Oregon, Illinois, New York, Pennsylvania, wherever you're from, we need to secede. This is not a matter of race. I call on good black people. I call on good Chinese people. And I call on good whites. Secede. That's the name of the game now. They will never accept us in America. And there's more than enough Mexicans that they brought in. There's more than enough foreigners now. And they vote early and they vote often. Remember that. They vote early and they vote often. And they don't need an ID card anymore. They'll vote over and over and over. They will always beat us at the election. You say you're going to vote for Donald Trump? He's not going to win. He can't win. The Mexicans are going to go out in style. And all these other foreigners in America. You and I cannot win against this rigged system. If they let him win the nomination, if they let him run for president, if they let him beat Hillary, then guess what? They'll still have this rotten, dirty Congress. It doesn't matter if they're Republicans. It doesn't matter if they're Democrats. It doesn't help. I want you to let them know. I want you to let them know. Let them know what you think about them. Let them know about this filthy Paul Ryan. Now he's wearing a beard. He looks like he got a dirty face. Looks like he hadn't even washed. Meanwhile, more money has gone to for cybersecurity. We've got to keep out that terrorist. You are the terrorist. As far as the government is concerned, you and I are the terrorists. Friends, we are at war with the un-Americans. Don't ever forget it. Secede or die. That's what I say. Secede or die. Do it constitutional. We've got the constitutional pathway. We've got to use it. Don't let them say you can't secede. That was all finalized back in 1865. 1865, listen, they didn't have same-sex marriages back then. Remember that? Well, they do now. 1865 was a whole nother world. And now we want the new world, but we want to bring back 1776. Remember that, folks. We're going to have our own nation. We're going to have our own constitution. We're going to have the U.S. Constitution of 1787, I believe it was. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.